have a very important sermon I want to share with you today, one that I believe can change the world, the church world, can bring a Holy Ghost revival. And that is about praying in the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. You understand that Jesus said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And one of the greatest purposes of that tarrying and this endowment of power was the power to pray. The power to pray, the power to talk to God in the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which the Bible calls unknown tongues. And Apostle Paul, that Trojan of the faith, that great man of God, is our example. Let me read to you. I thank my God, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Wherefore, he said, let him that speaketh in the unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but in my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then, Paul said? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Now, Apostle Paul was big on praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. In fact, that whole early church was big on praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. And that will bring a revival in mine your day. We will have a move of God that will shake our communities if we'll get back to the old-fashioned Bible way of praying, praying in the Spirit. That doesn't mean you pray in tongues all the time, but it means you pray with an anointing. You pray till you pray through, and then you stay there and pray, talking to God and God talking to you until you become a veritable giant of the faith. I'm telling you, God needs giants of the faith all over this globe, from one end of this church world to the other. And I'm a champion for it. I want to promise you, starting today, and I think I've already started, but a fresh starting today, we're going to have church on these internet messages and internet broadcasts, telecasts. We're going to have church. We're going to begin to pray for God to pour out the Spirit, to pour out the power. We're going to welcome the gifts of the Holy Ghost. 9 gifts, mighty supernatural power, gifts that God gives to His church for the business of the kingdom. Well, I pray that you will listen and hear this message. We are now putting all 3 services a week, Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, on DVDs. We're going to start sending these to people all over this world who want to have church in their home, or maybe in a storefront, or maybe in a new building where they're trying to get organized. And we want to help them. We need classical Pentecostal churches all over this globe. And I'm a champion for that. I'm a champion for that. If you're interested, all you got to do is contact us right here on this internet, jrc@paulcreek.org. That's my email that comes to my desk, to my computer. And I want to talk with you about it. I want to see what God can do across this great earth, across this great globe. I want churches on fire where God is moving and miracles are occurring and great things are happening. Our church here is going to be one of them. And I welcome you in this area to be a part of us. I promise you. Camp meeting begins on June the 22nd. That's a Sunday. That day, Michael Switzer will be preaching both services. And then Monday night through Friday, the camp meeting. That's June 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. There'll be services every morning, 9:30. And then a Bible teacher, number one Bible teacher, Jeff Mayo, at 11 o'clock each of the mornings, Thursday through Friday. Then a sermon at 6 o'clock, then the regular service at 7. Different men will be preaching the evening services. The first Monday is Brother David Roper. Then on the second Monday is Joey Yates. The third Monday is Bruce Gans. The third night service, I should say, is Bruce Gans. The Thursday night is Eugene Smith from Florida. And the Friday night, that's Noah Hatfield here in the States, a great evangelist. Well, we're going to have a great week, June the 22nd, then 23rd through 27th. And we feed lunch every day after the Bible study. Every day, complimentary lunch. I'm looking forward to a camp meeting. I want you to be here. I really do. Well, listen, we're concerned. We're going to take you to hear the Word of God. This is a sermon I just preached, and it's a sermon about praying in the Holy Ghost, the mighty power of praying in the Holy Ghost. You'll hear a little bit of a song. Jim Passinger, a pianist, will be playing and singing. Beautiful song, He is Able. And He is Able. You'll only hear a little of that, and then straight to the Word of the Living God. I love you.
He's able. Hallelujah.
He's able.
Hallelujah.
I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
If you love the Word of God, hold it in your hand as you stand, please. Please, if you are not old and feeble, we understand when some just cannot stand for long times, and we understand that. But those that can must reverence this great God whose we are and whom we serve. Amen. He's able. The book of Ephesians tonight, I believe a very special message that God has poured in my heart. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 and beginning with verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. What a text of Scripture. Notice, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness. Did you notice that? Spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. Now that's a definition of wickedness that is kind of overwhelming. Spiritual wickedness. Wickedness that is a power within the spirit realm. Dark side, of course. Evil side, of course. But spiritual, nevertheless. You understand, the devil and all his angels were once servants of the Almighty God, created to worship. Their nature is worship. The only difference now is their worship has been transferred from the great God to the false God. So they worship the devil. They worship evil. They worship darkness. They worship the work of the evil world. They really do. Now, I want to preach tonight on praying in the Holy Ghost. This is Pentecost Sunday. This is Pentecost Sunday. And I'm preaching on praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And I really need His special anointing. I really need an unction of the Holy Ghost upon me tonight. I really do. I need an unction of the Holy Ghost upon His servant, that this message can be special from the Lord. Oh, I was on my way to church, and the Holy Ghost actually spoke to me in my car on my way and gave me this message. The Holy Ghost spoke to me on my way to church and poured this message in my heart. And I truly, with all I have, prepared myself the best I know how to talk to us tonight about praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to give you several thoughts tonight. I'm not going to call these points because they're not going to get long, extended kind of preaching on them. But points that I hope will be a blessing to you. Father, help me tonight. Help me, God, my Father, by your sweet Holy Ghost. Help me, God, my Father, by your sweet Holy Ghost. Work a deep work in your servant tonight. Help me, God, to preach as I've never preached. Binding any spirit that would seek to hinder me. Binding any spirit that would come against my mind or my thoughts. Binding any spirit that in any way would keep me from saying what needs to be said tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. Praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. My first thought that I want you to hear tonight is never, never in the church world, nothing, or never in the church world is anything more important than praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. If there is one place and one point where the devil is the most quickly and powerfully defeated, it is when men and women full of God, sanctified by the blood, pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. Until we pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, we may indeed be praying rightly and praying even with some power, with some degree of strength, with some degree of victory. But there is no victory in prayer like praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. Apostle Paul said, I pray with the understanding and I pray with the Spirit. He was simply telling us that he prayed in his own natural ability. And that can be anointed by the Holy Ghost just as easily as praying in tongues can be anointed by the Holy Ghost. But when the two are blended together, that a saint of God, sanctified, set apart, prays both naturally and in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit, in the anointing of tongues, there is power, there is victory, and nothing is more important than praying in the Holy Ghost. You will never find a great church. There aren't men and women behind the scene praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. Charles Finney was probably the greatest evangelist the Presbyterian Church ever produced. He was an attorney. He was filled with the Holy Ghost in his law office. He had just come from the woods where he'd been out there praying and had got thoroughly converted, thoroughly saved. And now he comes to his office in the evening after office hours and he's praying in his office and the Holy Ghost came upon him. And he said, I literally bellowed out the unutterable gushes of my heart. He said, I prayed and sought God and the rivers of grace was flowing through me that I thought I would die. Yet I had no fear of death. It was a glorious victory, a triumphant experience, and it set Charles Finney to preaching with great power and great authority. And God gave him a prayer warrior, a man that would precede him where revivals were held, and would go and find a room and rent that room, and would stay in the room day and night and pray for Charles Finney. Pray that God would anoint him. Pray that God would pour out his Spirit upon him. Pray that God would use him mightily in the Spirit, and he would shake the communities. Often, they would do their best to keep him out of a town. They didn't want him to come. But once he got there and God began to work, everything changed, and great numbers of people were wonderfully converted. That man, that prayer warrior, that anointed prayer servant, was somewhere in a room praying for God to anoint Charles Finney and to put a mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost upon him. So, I want you to take that thought home with you. Nothing is more important than praying in the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Nothing. How many heard that? Would you let me see your hand? Nothing is more important than praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. It is so imperative. If we had a church full of people, and all week long, every one of us, or at least a goodly part of us, was praying in the Holy Ghost, in the mornings, in the evenings, in the nighttime, praying in the Holy Ghost, staying on our face until the Holy Ghost was upon us, praying in the power of the Spirit, praying in the language that the devil cannot interpret and cannot understand and cannot hinder and cannot stop. He cannot intercept praying in the Holy Ghost, not in a moment. He can do nothing about praying in the Holy Ghost. It penetrates right through his world, right through his spiritual realm, right through his host of angels, and goes straight before the throne of Almighty God. I'm here to tell you, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are praying straight to the Father, and the devil can't stop it. Are you listening to me? You're praying and straight to the Father, and the devil can't stop it. He cannot stop it. Now, we, listen to me, woe to the preacher speaking against praying or speaking in tongues. Woe to the preacher who preaches against, who teaches against speaking in tongues or praying in tongues or singing in tongues. I say woe to that preacher. That preacher's in a heap of trouble. He's not resisting the Pentecostal people. He's resisting the Holy Ghost. And he's in danger zone. I'm not going to tell you there aren't some good men that have done that. I'm sure there are, because they were so taught and so schooled and so saturated with a doctrine against speaking in tongues and declaring it had ended with the early church. Well, they're just wrong to start with. They're just wrong to start with. Even John Wesley, the great Methodist, even he spoke of people in his day who spoke in tongues and was moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my friend, how the devil hates a servant of God praying in the Holy Ghost. How the devil hates it, and how the devil will get preachers and teachers and good people to speak against it. I say good. I do that dangerously almost. But I'm telling you, it is woeful to speak against speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in the Holy Ghost. How many would agree with that? Could I see your hand? Is that woeful? Is that dangerous? Is that not dark? Absolutely it is. Woe to such a person. Woe to such a person. You see, they are resisting the Holy Ghost and his own language. I don't think anything ever got a hold of me in my study of the Bible, in my search of the Scripture, in my search after God, more than when it suddenly dawned on me what the Lord said in the book of 1 Corinthians 14:2. When he said, he that speaketh in tongue, in unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. That got a hold of me over a year ago, and I began to realize that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost have their own language. A divine language of the triune Godhead. And it is called in this Bible unknown tongues, because no man knoweth it. Only God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. So you got to understand, they are resisting the language of the Holy Ghost. When you speak against tongues, real tongues, I know there's been substitutes. There's been some effort on the devil's part to intimidate Pentecostals by developing his own language that sounds like tongues. I'll get to that in a little bit. But I want to tell you something. Oh, it's real. The Holy Ghost has a language that's the same as the Father and the Son. And they talk with each other. And they use us when we're full of the Holy Ghost to talk to them in their language. And that's what makes speaking in tongues something out extraordinary. That puts it on a level that's just overwhelming and breathtaking. That when he comes upon me and anoints me and I begin to pray in unknown tongues, I'm talking to my Father in his language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you resist speaking in tongues, you actually resist the language of the Holy Ghost. You resist the language of the Holy Ghost. You cut off the voice of the Holy Ghost in the church. You cut it off and say, we'll have none of it. We will do this in our own power. We'll do this in our own language. That's the only way we're going to do it. Oh, listen to me, church. Listen to me, church. The language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is a divine and heavenly language. And I want to be more yielded to it than I've ever known. Oh, you can't be yielded to it if you don't live a sanctified life. You can't be yielded to it and live easy and shabby and be careless around the house of God and careless about the things of God. This is a language reserved for the Holy Ghost to use in the most devoted of saints, in the most devoted of believers, in the most devoted of men and women who give up all love for the world and all love for worldly things, and all they are hungry for is God. Somebody raise your hand and just love on him a minute, would you? Love on him a minute, would you? Worship him, love him, praise him, honor him. Oh, they're resisting the language of the Holy Ghost. Boy, that puts it on another level, don't it? That really does. It makes it dangerous. Now, denying tongues reduces the church to flesh. Denying tongues reduces the church to flesh. Just a flesh institution. Just a social order. Just a club of humans. Good humans, maybe. Devoted humans, very likely. Dedicated humans, very possibly. Lovers of Jesus, even in many cases. Love the things of God to some degree. But it reduces the church to flesh. It makes the church a flesh institution. When you remove the mighty work of the Holy Ghost, when you remove the mighty visitation of the Holy Ghost, it thrills my heart when I go back and read some of the quotes I have from the second and the third and the fourth centuries. Some of the names noted in Catholic circles today because of their early part in developing theology and doctrine, and they spoke in their day in as late as the fourth century, and say we're just so helpless today because we've cut off that work of the Holy Ghost, where saints speak in tongues and are baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the gifts of the Spirit are allowed to work in the church, and they decry it. And they weep over it. And yet they were part of that declension that turned away from it. Maybe they were speaking against it. Who knows? I'm not here to judge them. I'm just here to tell you that when you reduce the church and eliminate speaking in tongues, you reduce the church to a fleshly institution of almost no power and no purpose. Now, listen. The devil loves to imitate tongues. The devil loves to imitate tongues. You go and search out the voodoo doctors and the voodoo practitioners. You go and search out the club, the cult leaders. You go and search out those who are involved in manipulating people in the cult world and in the world of New Age thinking and New Age acting and New Age conduct. You'll find most of them have some connection with tongues, and they produce their own tongue. And they have people speaking in tongues. All the voodoo doctors were big in that. Oh, they jabber some language and do their evil and their dark work and cast spells upon people. And they could walk on fire. They could walk on glass. And they could do things that were beyond the human capacity when they'd come under these spirits of the devil and talking in the language that was the devil's language. And the devil loves to imitate. People say to me often when I'm talking to people and they find out I'm a Pentecostal, "Don't you know that the devil talks in tongues?" I say, "Yeah, I know it. That tells me it's real, because he don't imitate nothing but what's real." The devil's not crazy. He don't go around imitating something that has no Bible meaning, that has no spiritual background. He imitates the real. He imitates the genuine. He's an imitator. He's a falsifier. That's what his whole dedication is. And so when the devil talks in tongues, he's just testifying that there's a real. Somebody raise a hand and help me. Are you here tonight? Are you here tonight? Hallelujah. Good to have you come in, brother. Bless your heart. I'm here to tell you, it's real. It's real. I know it's real. This Pentecostal blessing, I know it's real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've been full of the Holy Ghost now a little over 60 years. Hallelujah. I've never decried of it. Never failed to appreciate and love it. Now, if the devil's crowd talk in tongues, they certainly aren't talking in his tongues. So what does that testify? That tells you the devil and his demons have a language. The devil and his demons have a language. Now, I'm going to do my best this week. I'm going to do my best to get back enough into the occult world and a little research to find some of their voodoo doctors talking in the language of the devil. I'm going to do my best. I know it's out there. I know there's much of it out there. And I want to present a little bit of it to give people maybe on radio an understanding that this Pentecost is really real. And the reason we know it's real is the devil has spent all the centuries trying his best to imitate it and trying to produce something that would make the real seem unreal. Oh, he has only made the real more real. Hallelujah. Oh, are you listening to me? The devil's crowd has a language. People will come into our churches full of demons and talking tongues. And if we don't have discernment of spirits, I've seen people go to shouting over some devil talking in tongue. A devil's tongue. It wasn't real a bit. Immediately you could discern it. You could say, wait, that's not real. That's not real. That's not from the Father. That's an imitation. Listen to me, church. The devil has a tongue. The devil's crowd has a tongue. The demons communicate with each other. They contrive against us. They contrive against us. They unite against us. They unite to try to stop us. They don't like what we represent. They don't like what we do. So the devil and his crowd, his whole world, has a language. Now, this is really important. There's only one spirit that can stop evil spirits. Are you listening to me? There's only one spirit that is called the restrainer in the Bible. There's only one spirit that can restrain the work of the devil. And so where there is no work of the Holy Ghost, the devil has a free run. Oh, you can look at churches today and find how evident that is. Get in some of those rock and roll situations. You just listen. They say the right words, but there's a spirit there. There's a feeling there. There's a look in their eyes often that you can tell, man, something's wrong with that. That's not real. Oh, listen to me. The only real resistance against that is the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you are a sitting duck for the devil and all of his demons. If you resist the Holy Ghost, you really become a sitting duck for the devil and all of his demons. Are you listening to me? I want you to hear me tonight. Listen to me. Hallelujah. The only resistance against the demon world is the power of the Holy Ghost. Remember my text. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The darkness of this world has an organized rulership, an organized direction, government over their darkness. And they are contriving, they are laboring to put this world under the darkness of the Antichrist. I said to Brother Marlon, I've never known it to be as hard as it is today to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now once I pray through and really get under the anointing of the Spirit of God, it becomes easy to pray in the Holy Ghost. But often in yielding myself and seeking to pray in the Spirit, the Bible says building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The book says those exact words, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, you know praying in the Holy Ghost, what it means in the anointing of the Spirit. It's not easy because there is an effort on the part of evil and darkness in this very hour in which you and I are now living to stop every movement of the Holy Ghost. Never has the Spirit of God had such resistance. It's overwhelming. It's really literally overwhelming. They've imitated. I was talking to Brother White. Brother White used to be the general overseer of the Church of God, Robert White. He's become a real friend of mine. We're about the same age, and he's now retired out in Texas, and he's doing evangelistic work, and we speak once in a while and talk about what's happening. And he said to me the other day, Brother Chambers, do you know what has happened in the Pentecostal church world? I said, yes, I think I do. What are you saying? He says, we've learned how to imitate the Holy Ghost, and we don't need him any longer. And I said, that's exactly what the Lord spoke to me. And I told him of a day I was riding down the highway toward Raleigh, North Carolina. I was praying, God, what's wrong? What's happened to Pentecost? What's taking place among us? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me just as clear as it was, as though I was hearing a voice. I wasn't hearing a voice, but it was just as clear. And said to me, the Pentecostal world has learned how to imitate me, and they don't need me any longer. They don't want me coming on board, because when I come on board, everything else has to be shut down and put to silence, and I become the master. Hallelujah. Well, I want the Holy Ghost to know that I want him to be the master. I'm one of those preachers that don't want nothing but the Holy Ghost to take over my life until he rules me from head to toe, heart, hat, and heel. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, folks, it's real. It's real. And the only resistant of the devil is the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, he resists when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Did you hear that? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Say that with me, will you? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, it's real. Hallelujah. Oh, and he says, praying in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, you have no resistance if the Holy Ghost isn't involved with you in resisting the enemy. You're just a sitting duck. You're just a sitting duck. God help us. The Holy Ghost alone, the Holy Ghost alone can defeat the demons. The Holy Ghost alone can defeat the demons. Are you listening to me? The Holy Ghost alone can resist and break the power of demons. The Holy Ghost alone can stop that spiritual wickedness in high places. That spiritual wickedness up there reigning. I mean, it seeks to rule this world, and it will during the Antichrist era. Oh, but right now, that era is developing, and there's a resistance against God. But when you and I will live a Holy Ghost full life, hallelujah, there's an anointing. There's an anointing that will stop the enemy. There is no other restrainer in the spirit realm. There is no other restrainer in the spirit realm. I said there is no other restrainer in the spirit realm, church. Oh, the need of the hour. The need of the hour is a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost is a person. He is a member of the Godhead, and he is a member of the Trinity, the Godhead. And he is equally a person as is the Father and is the Son. And they have a language. How could you think of a person not having a language? And God's language is certainly not our language. The Bible makes that very clear. So the Holy Ghost is a person. And when he moves in you and your life, he will have preeminence to speak when he chooses to speak. And you must yield to him, and you must allow him to speak, and you must allow him to take precedence in your life and to speak through you. Now, it's so important to understand fasting and praying, because the purpose of fasting and praying is to put silence to your flesh, to put silence to the inner man that represents you, so that you can move beyond the flesh and hear and receive by the Holy Ghost a movement of the Spirit of God. Oh, fasting is the greatest way in all the world to hush the flesh. Fasting and praying is the greatest way in all the world to put silence to that old person that we are, and cause us to hush up our own thinking, to let God do some thinking in us and moving upon us. And today, as I was seeking God and praying right there, hallelujah, the Spirit of the Lord moved on me, and these thoughts came rushing at me almost faster than I could write them down, that we've got to understand this is the hour. We're living in it. We're not talking about it. I read where the old preachers in the past, Brother Jim, they talk about what's going to happen in the end. They talk about how tough it's going to get. They talk about the clenching in the church and the great falling away. They talk about how everything would become such a darkness and there would be such a struggle. Oh, but they always said when that struggle had come to its end that God would move again and a great work of the Holy Ghost would occur. Hallelujah. And I believe it. I'm waiting on it. Oh, I'm waiting on it. Oh, I want to live for it. And as soon as I live for it, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. I want to live for that. But I'm telling you, fasting and prayer is how we open the door of our heart. Hallelujah. Would you just raise our hand and love on him with me? Father, help us tonight and bring us to this place of such surrender and such devotion that the Holy Ghost can really do some things in us like there has never been. God, I'm hungry for this. I'm hungry beyond measure. I'm hungry beyond measure. I'm telling you, never has the Holy Ghost praying been faced with more resistance than we have in our day. And the airwaves of television and radio are full of preachers who will tell you all of this is over. Cessation they believe in, that it all ended at the end of the early church, that it was only given back in that day because they didn't have the Bible. But now we have the Bible, so we don't need it. Let me tell you something. We got the Bible. But the way most people interpret the Bible, they sure need something. And I tell you what they need. They need the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. They need their eyes open with a spirit and a power beyond their capability and beyond their old mental understanding. They need to get out of those books that they read in the theological schools and get in the book of God's book, God's Word, and get the moving of the Holy Ghost upon them that will make these truths come alive. Woo, hallelujah. Church, the greatest need of the hour is praying in the Holy Ghost. You are helpless spiritually until you allow God to masterfully rule your life and anoint you in prayer and in power and God's unction and God's Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you tonight, Pentecost is real. Now, how can you be filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Those of you who have the baptism as well as those who don't, how many of you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost to rule your life, to be the master of your life? Raise your hand way up high. You're a candidate for that. You want the Holy Ghost to be the master. You want the Holy Ghost to rule your life. Now, let me tell you some things you've got to do. Number one, you got to repent of sin. Even in the church, there's a lot of people that need to repent of their sin, their carelessness, their disobedience, their laxity, their laziness, their excuse making. I mean, there's just so many things today that's just gripping the church world. I mean, they're gripping the church world. You know, I live so far, I got to drive an hour and a half. Well, you drive an hour and a half every service, don't you, Sister Dolores? Close there too? You know, that's such a lazy excuse. That's such an empty excuse. Something's wrong in somebody's life that uses something like that. They're just looking for excuses. I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. I'm telling you, this is real. When you get hungry for this, you'd rather have this than anything the world's got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love Tony's milkshakes, but I don't love them anything close to how much I love the move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I love the move of His Holy Ghost. Now, let me tell you, you got to repent of sin. You got to be sanctified. Now, there's a difference in repenting of sin and being forgiven. Sanctification is the hand of God that sets your vessel apart as God's property. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is God taking your vessel and cleansing it of all the will and carnality and selfishness and independence of your flesh and setting it apart to be the vessel of God. Let me tell you, once you are set apart to be the vessel of God, totally and utterly, and you surrender everything to this word and this holy will of God, and you become His property, you are now a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, you've got to hunger after Him, and you've got to understand He's a gift. You can't earn Him. He comes to those who praise Him and honor Him. And if you don't have the capacity to throw your hands up and start praising God with everything that's in you and loving Him with all that you are and raising your voice up like an anthem to praise God, you're not really close yet, because the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes on the wings of praise and worship and adoration and surrender and devotion of all yourself to Him. I want you to stand, please, in the name of the Lord. Listen to me, church. God wants to fill His church with the mighty work of the Holy Ghost. God wants to move upon His people and pour His Holy Ghost out upon us. And God wants to give us a move of the Spirit of God that will shake the city of Charlotte. I mean, it will shake the city of Charlotte. What a God we serve. What mighty power is available to a people who will give themselves to the Holy Ghost. Can you right now give yourself to Him? Holy Ghost, I want to be your property for Christ's sake and for the Father's glory. I want to be your property, Father. I want you to reign and rule over my life and everything that I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Hallelujah. Now, I preach the best of my ability tonight. Very simple. Very simple. I'm going to write down all these things and put it in a little page and put it in the bulletin for the next Sunday, 2-3 Sundays. I want it to really get a hold of us. I want us to understand what speaking in tongues and praying in the Holy Ghost and the moving of the Holy Ghost upon us, how important it is. How dangerous it is for people to resist it. I will not listen to a preacher that tells me speaking in tongues is not real. I am not going to waste my time hearing him. Oh, he may say some good things, but it's all in the natural. It's all just, you know, book learning. It's all just Bible reading. And that's not bad, but that's not what this church world needs. This world needs a move of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you. This world needs a moving of the Holy Ghost. Are you hungry? How many of you are hungry for the moving of the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand way up high. Are you hungry for the moving of the Holy Ghost? Man, I'm a hungry man for that. Oh, I'm hungry for a church. Oh, sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him a little bit, would you? Throw your hands up and tell Him how much you love Him. Father, I love You tonight. I'm yielding all of me to Your Spirit. I'm yielding all of me to Your Holy Ghost. I don't want anything else, God. This Word, my Savior, my Lord Jesus, His sanctifying power, everything getting me ready, and then a mighty moving of the Holy Ghost. I give my all. Everything on the altar. Breathe us for you.
Preacher was preaching, the choir was singing, the people were shouting, hallelujah, bless His name. They started moving, I felt those chains are loosing. I'll never forget how it happened that day. It happened that day when the Holy Ghost took power. Fell on me that very hour. Every single minute it was erased. I knew in that moment when He saved me, everything changed when He forgave me. I will never forget how it happened that day. Preaching, the choir was singing, the people were shouting, hallelujah, bless His name. Well, my feet, they started moving, I felt those chains loosen, and I will never forget how it happened that day. It happened that day when the Holy Ghost and power fell on me that very hour. Every single minute it was erased. Day. like I've lost my joy and shout along the way.